This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
And hello, my name is Adam Ritz. This is The Adam Ritz Show. Jay Baker is joining me on the telephone with his incredible big brain. Are you ready to go, Jay?
I am ready and excited to give you some of the latest information from the world of public affairs.
It's a fun topic. At least we try to have some fun with it. We'll start with a concert I found that, man, I'd like to go to this one. Although it's in Madison, Wisconsin in January. I don't know if you've been to Wisconsin in January, but it's a little chilly. This is a benefit concert benefiting Joey's song, Fighting Epilepsy with Music. Members of Cheap Trick, Toto, the Go-Go's, and more are going to play this concert January 9th in Madison, Wisconsin. And I'll give you some of the names here. Which I just an unbelievable list of people that are going to be together at one event, one stage for one cause. Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick, Toto's Steve Picoro will be there. Also, Jane Weedlin from the Go-Go's, who famously to certain circles is more famous as playing Joan of Arc in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
That's right.
There's your trivia for day for today. There was a member of the Go-Go's in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Some of the other names, members of the Bangles, Vicki Peterson and Debbie Peterson will be there. Butch Vig from Garbage will also perform, and members of Silver Sun Pickups, Belly, Letters to Cleto, Eve Six, and more will also be there. So this, you know, especially the alternative, classic alternative music, if you're into that, this is a great night for you. And one of the names that jumps out here on me is Butch Vig. Are you familiar with Butch Vig?
I am not, but I love his name already.
Well, let's do a little music history for you here. There's the difference between you and I. We're close in age, but not that close, at least not that close that you know who Butch Vig is. I'm sorry, that I know who Butch Vig is and you don't. He was a member of Garbage, so there's your tie-in. Garbage, okay. I don't know if you knew this, but Garbage recorded, I think, more than one album in Madison, Wisconsin. So Shirley Manson, their lead singer.
Shirley Manson, yes.
I don't know if she's exactly from Madison or what their tie is to Madison, but they, yeah, the Garbage albums came out of Madison. Butch Vig was their bass player and co-writer on a lot of their songs, and that is not the most important thing he did in the music industry or music history. Butch Vig produced the album Nevermind by Nirvana.
Wow.
So that's the breakthrough. Really, you could argue Nevermind from Nirvana and 10 from Pearl Jam came out the same year, I think in 1991, maybe early 92, but I think it was 91. Those two albums changed music, at least from the grunge perspective, the rock perspective. And Butch Vig produced the album Nevermind, and he also went on to produce several albums for Stone Temple Pilots, Soundgarden. I mean, he was the go-to guy for music production if you were in a grunge band in the early 90s to mid-90s. So Butch Vig is if you're a music connoisseur or a music, you know, an audiophile, if you will, a Gen Xer that just loved the grunge scene and what it meant to you growing up in the 90s, Butch Vig should be on your bucket list of someone that you should want to meet. And you could at this concert benefiting Joey's song in Epilepsy. So, again, it's January 9th and 10th. It's a two-day show. The first day will be all acoustic. The second day, all electric in Madison, Wisconsin. You're going to need some electricity in Madison in January, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yes.
And a little bit about Joey's song, the organization. It was founded 15 years ago in memory of a young boy named Joey Gummel, who passed away before turning 5 years old after a battle with a severe form of epilepsy. So, Jay, you and I talk all the time about getting involved with your community, raising money for a good cause. And if you can do it and see a good concert in the process, I mean, that's a win-win. I mean, who are you kidding me? What's better than having a great night out and having the money go to a great cause? So this is a perfect example of that. Joey's Song, the Epilepsy Benefit Concert in Madison this January. Use your Google machine, find some tickets if you're listening to us in that part of the country.
No, that's great. And you and I know sometimes some of these causes would go, you know, somewhat unknown. It would only affect those immediately affected by it. But this sort of bridges over to the community and says, hey, you could get a form of epilepsy that could alter your life and, in fact, end your life. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's not exactly, you know, tip of the tongue sort of topic that you would otherwise, you know, talk about over dinner. So it's great awareness for all of us. You're absolutely right.
You know, Adam, it was a disappointing summer for movies. I know you love movies. I do, too. And sometimes, you know, you need the numbers in front of you to see where trends are going. But if you look at box office gross revenues from the first weekend in May through Labor Day, it came up about a half billion shy of last year's numbers.
That is a big number.
Yeah, this year started out strong. The film Sinners and a Minecraft movie, but then fell flat. The LA Times suggests movie theaters still recovering from the pandemic, as well as the actors and writers strikes from 2 years ago. The paper also says that movie fans, frankly, if you look at the numbers, are simply streaming at home.
That's the biggest one. That's the biggest competition with the motion picture industry and the cinema industry is just streaming at home. It's just nothing easier than laying on your couch with some microwave popcorn.
I know. Well, and I feel bad for the theaters because obviously you know, you don't need to be an investigative reporter to realize, yeah, that big bucket of popcorn probably contains about 16 cents worth of product. They're selling it to you for $8 or $9. But how are they going to make money? But yet that's also the reason sometimes why people just go, I'm going to stay at home.
You know, I'm a good case study for what you're talking about here because I do love movies. And let's just say 6 years ago, let's go back before the pandemic. 6 years ago, I would see, I'm just going to estimate 3 movies a month in the movie theater. 3 times a month, I would go to the theater. And this year for 2025, I have seen 2 movies.
Wow.
In the theater. 2. So, you know, I've gone from 40 theater visits a year to 2. And here's the funny thing. I think you'll find this funny. I did see Sinners in theaters earlier this year. Fantastic movie. My daughters loved it and said, Dad, you have to see this movie. They were home for a weekend and we went and I did love it. It was a great experience. And the other movie I saw in theaters was Jaws.
Interesting, because it was the anniversary, right?
Yeah, 50th anniversary of Jaws, a movie I've seen, I don't know, I'll just guess 200 times in my life. That's the movie I went to the theater to see.
And That's still a classic upon classic, yeah.
I will say, if you've, you know, they do these retro nights or classic movie nights. If you ever get to see a movie you've seen a dozen times in the theater that you've only watched on your television screen, you will notice something that you never saw before. And I was seeing things watching Jaws like, oh, my gosh, I never really noticed that that's what Quint did in that scene.
Right.
You know, his focus on the life jacket in this scene, it just went right over my head when I watched this on my TV. So I would encourage, just as a pop culture piece of advice here for you, Jay, if you ever have a chance to see a film that you've seen a dozen times at some sort of anniversary retro night at a movie theater, go check it out because you may notice something that you didn't notice before on the small screen.
Well, and that's a great point. Seeing it again on the big screen makes all the difference. It's funny, I heard an interview from a film historian, and you may or may not agree with this, but they said that Spielberg was fascinating with the way he made movies, and his poke at politicians was the scene where the mayor is smiling with everyone going, hey, there's no reason to get upset, knowing full well that there's a white, you know, what is it? The great white shark is just offshore.
Yeah, there's
hey, all is well. Just head back into the ocean.
The beaches will be open this weekend.
He said that was his poke at politics, because the look on the mayor's face, you know, don't worry, the beaches are open. Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite Jaws references to the mayor is in the remake of Ghostbusters with the ladies, Kristen Wiig. And did you see that one with Leslie Jones?
Yeah, it's sort of the female version, if you will.
It's the female Ghostbusters. Well, Andy Garcia plays the mayor of New York City, and he's sort of ignoring the ghost problem. And Kristen Wiig says to him, don't be the mayor from Jaws. And Andy, he's in the middle of a restaurant, and he screams, never call me the mayor from Jaws.
That's too funny.
It's
good. So that scene has resonated for 50 years. Well, Adam, I have to give you much credit.
Have
kind of veered away from horror films over the past 10, 15 years, because I just felt like, there's nothing new out there. And all it is, you know, some high school kids with a big bottle of ketchup. Big deal. They're not worth watching. However, you have re-inspired me. I make a point each season to sort of catch up on the newest, latest, craziest horror films, not because I want to scare myself silly, but I too want to sort of stay abreast of things. And one of the all-time great film franchises, according to a number of critics, are the films that are based on the original film, was called The Conjuring.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been three or four or five offshoots of the original Conjuring. Well, the haunted house that inspired The Conjuring is now available for overnight stays. Now, I have seen The Conjuring. It scared the bejeebers out of me. I don't know the effect on you, Adam, but would you stay at the house that inspired the movie?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I would. That's just a little too real.
It seems pretty creepy. The house is in Connecticut. It's the former home of the late paranormal investigators, Ed and Lorraine Warren. Now, footnote, you know, everyone wants to, hey, Adam, here's my story. But when I was in college, Ed and Lorraine Warren came and gave a public talk. I attended it. And that made the scare factor alone from hearing them speak may have kept me away from horror films. They were very convincing and very scary.
I can't believe that I've known you this long, Jay, and you've never told me that you saw Ed and Lorraine from The Conjuring, the real people, speak
at a college campus event.
What year was this?
This was back in 1979 or 80.
Oh, my gosh. And if you don't know, and if you're laughing at me like, gee, Adam, what a wimp. You won't spend the night in this house. The narratives and plot lines of this horror film franchise are based on real life events that Ed and Lorraine investigated, demonic possessions and the like. And there are real things. If you've seen any of the movies, you know what I'm talking about. The movies end with like real footage, real photos, real audio clips. It's this stuff is real. And I'm not. Jay, don't make me sleep there. Please, Jay, don't make me sleep there.
No, it's absolutely frightening. No, you raise a great point. The house itself eventually became known as the Warren Occult Museum. And the museum itself contained hundreds of haunted artifacts, including, you and I both know, somewhat famous, the Annabelle doll from the Conjuring movies.
Yeah, it's all real, folks.
It's
this
scary.
This is your warning.
Yeah, but every overnight guest at the house is required to sign a physical liability waiver as well as a spiritual liability waiver. I brought this up because nobody loves horror films more than my good friend Adam. But I thought to myself as I was looking through this, I thought, I don't see myself staying there. I have nothing to prove to myself.
You know,
I would hear sounds in the parking lot before I even pulled up.
If you put a waiver in front of me, a physical waiver in case I got hurt, you know, maybe I go. But as soon as you follow it up with, what do you call it, a spiritual
yes,
waiver?
Yes, we all accept a spiritual liability.
Yeah,
yes.
So that when I get possessed, I won't hold them responsible. I'm not signing that.
Well, and it's funny you said that because this is the time of year. If you watch a half dozen really good horror films, I'm talking about do a little research, find out what some of the experts are saying are some of the better horror films. You and I both know you can have sort of a feeling of dread. I'm not saying it's going to be negative energy, but you do have a feeling of, oh, that's going to stick with me for a while.
Yeah, they are. They're scary for a reason, and you could have nightmares for sure. There's your public service announcement, ladies and gentlemen.
Public service announcement. Yeah. Hey, let's go to something that I think a lot of people look forward to: great leaf-looking spots. And I will apologize ahead of time as I share this list with you. Not all of these you could drive to, even in 24 hours, but it's kind of cool to note what leaf experts are still saying are the hot spots to look at leaves. Are you sort of a leaf guy in the fall?
Yes, I love it. I love, you know, I'm a summer guy. I'm a beach pool, hot weather guy, but I do love the fall season. I love football. I love the seasons, holidays, Halloween and Thanksgiving. I love the fall foliage. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say here.
Well, here are the 10 best scenic destinations for leaf watching this fall. Number one remains, as it has been for a number of years, the Hudson Valley in New York.
Oh, okay.
Have never visited myself, but have seen some great footage from that area, and it is pretty spectacular.
Okay.
I have been to Boulder, Colorado in the fall, and it's number two on the list. The Snoqualmie Valley in Washington, supposed to be spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Ooh, yeah, Pennsylvania, I bet it's super nice in the
fall. Pretty nice. Bretton Woods in New Hampshire. The Columbia River Gorge in Oregon.
Now, when
is
you say
to be spectacular,
when you hear about New Hampshire, do you immediately go to Who's the Boss?
Oh yes,
wasn't that show supposed to take place in New Hampshire?
Go ahead.
If you recall the intro to the sitcom with Tony Danza, you know, driving his hunk of junk car to his new job at the house. With Angela, it was through the fall. I believe there was fall foliage,
yes,
even in the beginning of that sitcom.
And I think it was Judith Light, wasn't she the employer?
She was the employer, played Angela. I don't want to ruin it, but if you haven't seen it, I don't want to ruin it, but they get married.
It's worth a look up, absolutely. Kind of funny how cool a little state like New Hampshire can be. And you and I both know that whenever somebody challenges you to name all 50 states and point to them on the map, you're like going, oh, those little New England states, there's no way. To me, New Hampshire looks like Rhode Island upside down. Who knows?
New Hampshire got me last week. Somebody asked me, can you name the states that start with new?
Ah.
How many states are there that start with new? And I thought there were, I think I said there were three, New York,
right,
New Jersey, New Mexico. And I freaking forgot New Hampshire.
That's easy to forget.
So that it's just so small. It was tiny. I guess it's just as big as New Jersey, but Jersey was easy for me to remember. New Hampshire's the forgotten state.
Yes, and I think all items in New Hampshire are shrunk down because it's a little smaller, absolutely.
Yeah.
Also on the list, a place that a lot of people know about here in the Midwest, Interesting name, but a beautiful area. French Lick, West Baden, Indiana.
That is
great place to go look at fall leaves.
It's beautiful. I've been there in the fall. It is beautiful.
North Lake Tahoe in California and Nevada. Mm-hmm. Also, this is another New England spot. Smuggler's Notch in Vermont and the Berkshires in Massachusetts, which I have heard is pretty spectacular, somewhat on par with the Hudson Valley in New York.
I just like the name, Smuggler's Notch. I want to go there. I don't care what time of year it is. I want a postcard and a magnet for my fridge that says Smuggler's Notch.
They probably have an outstanding bed and breakfast there.
It does sound like that.
Absolutely. This was an interesting note. You know, there's so many great nostalgia things happening. One of the big trends is many of the 90s toys are back in stores again. Now, my children are a little older. I know your children are sort of past toy buying stage.
Yep.
But it is interesting to note some of these blasts from the past. And I don't know if any of your children when younger were asking for these, but things like Tamagotchis. Remember those little toys?
No, not at all. What are they?
They were a little device that acted like it was a keychain size toy that you played with. And some did various things, but the most famous one emulated what you'd have to do to keep a person alive. You'd have to feed it and attend to it and sing it a lullaby and all that kind of stuff.
That sounds familiar.
A great Asian toy that became very popular here. Polly Pockets.
I recall that. Just from
Sky Dancers.
From the advertising. My youngest was born in 98, so I only had a couple of years
there.
Okay,
so you
missed
some of this, yeah.
What was after Polly Pockets?
Polly Pockets, Sky Dancers.
No idea what that is.
Light Bright.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that was a good one.
That's not just 90s. I mean, I had a Light Bright in the 70s. Have you seen the new Light Brights?
Well, I haven't, but I'm going to guess they've introduced technology to make it bigger and better than ever.
Oh, Jay, you have no idea. So imagine the Light Bright grid, if you will, and you don't have any pegs. There's no colored pegs to stick in the holes, and there's no light bulb behind the holes to illuminate the holes. Imagine the entire board is touchscreen.
Oh, wow.
And you can change the color of each peg, if you will, just by touching it. So you can create the image you want in the colors you want by touching the touchscreen. That's the new Light Bright.
Ah, see, they've used technology.
Yes, yes.
Science! Also on the list, perhaps one of the most obnoxious toys in the world, Furby.
Furby, yes. I'm so
happy.
Oh,
my goodness. Trying to teach little Furby how to talk and respond to things. And there used to be even books published on how you could help program Furby.
Yeah, thank goodness Furby's back.
Oh, my goodness. Cabbage Patch Kids, My Little Pony, even this one, this made me laugh. There was apparently a toy, they don't even name it. It was a baby spoon that had magically disappearing peas. So apparently the big gig was, hey, you're feeding your favorite doll some peas. And look, the peas have been consumed by the doll.
There's some smart aleck second graders that need that spoon to try to convince their mom that they're eating their peas every night.
So, yeah, if you want to go down the nostalgia route, many of these toys, of course, available. Not as many toy stores, but they'll be at retailers during the holiday season, which surprisingly is not going to be far off. We've always talked about how early different items come out for the holidays, and I think famously the home improvement stores have released many of their Halloween decorations.
You know what? I'll report on it next week. I'm making a Costco run tonight, And Jay, I can almost guarantee you I will see at least one Christmas item for sale.
Oh, sure.
Not a whole section. I'm just saying there will be in the seasonal aisle or the hodgepodge aisle, there will be a box of Christmas floor mats or, you know, welcome mats or some sort of little Christmas thing that they've gotten in early, and they're just going to throw them out on the floor, open the box, and put a price tag above it and see how many they can sell.
Because this is America, and it's about retailing.
That's what the holiday season's for, buying stuff.
Well, the Department of Energy has weighed in on what your ideal home temperature should be for summer and winter. Now, summer, obviously, almost over, but you got to be happy that the U.S. Department of Energy, they've got a lot to do, but they took a little time out of their busy day to let you know what should be your ideal saving on your thermostat, your setting on your thermostat, to help you save money on energy bills, which is not a bad idea.
It's a good idea.
Saving a little money. I know people's energy bills are a problem, so it's kind of good to keep abreast of this. Now, during summer months, the most comfortable temperature, this is according to the Department of Energy, so you can't get mad at me, you got to get mad at them. The most comfortable temperature during summer is between 75 and 78 degrees.
That's too hot.
that seems toasty.
That seems, and if you have an upstairs, if it's 76 on your main floor, it's going to be 79, 80 on your second floor. So that's too hot.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. Department of Energy.
Well,
go back to the drawing board.
Department of Energy, I'm not a fan. How about this one? Now, the while you're away or sleeping setting, this is the summer setting, according to Department of Energy, set that thermostat at 80, which sounds crazy because you need it cooled off so you can sleep.
What I'm hearing here, Jay, is that my 84-year-old parents run the Department of Energy because they keep their house about 80.
That's funny. Yeah, so that's that. But let's switch to winter.
Okay.
Now, Department of Energy, once again, their ideal winter inside temperature is 68 degrees.
That's so cold.
It does sound cold. Then if you're away from home or asleep, they recommend temperatures between 60 and 65.
Yeah,
this is for the winter.
I do like the hot weather, and that's too cold. At 68 in my house, I'm going to have to wear two T-shirts and a sweatshirt and sweatpants all the time.
Yeah, that's
now, I don't mind sleep. If
much.
That's the sleep. If you put that on to sleep at night, that's great. I like to sleep when it's cool, snuggle up with the blankets. I like that. But
but 60 seems awfully cool, even snuggled up with a blanket, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, I want to save energy. I'm telling you this story to help you, but part of me is like already I'm short-circuiting their positive message by going, hey, I think I don't think they thought this one through.
You're right. I just realized as a public affairs radio host, I'm not very good because you're telling me ways to save energy and money, and I'm pushing back.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we're just about out of time. It's been a great show.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today. But there's some good notes, some good news about U.S. mortgage rates. They've dropped the rate for the 30-year fixed loan. It fell slightly. This isn't going to be like earth-shattering, but it is good news. It fell to 6.56%. That is down a bit. While the drop is small, it marks the lowest level since late 2024 and could help potential buyers struggling with high borrowing costs. That's one thing that we've talked about that has been a little troubling in the home markets is affordable mortgage rates.
Great news, Jay Baker. Let's go buy a house. And we
appreciate
all of our listeners for hanging out with us. And when you buy that house, keep your thermostat around 68 in the winter. This is the Adam Ritz Show. We appreciate you being here. You can follow me on Twitter @AdamRitz.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.